favorites. Jacob loved Joseph best. Joseph was his favorite. Everybody knew it. All the other brothers knew it. All the mothers knew it. Everyone that worked for Jacob knew it. Jacob showed that he loved Joseph best by buying him a coat of... Wait a minute. In the Bible reading, there's nothing about a coat with many colors.
It's in the footnotes.
It's not. Is it in the footnotes? Yes. Oh, yes, it could be in there. But the point wasn't that it had many colors, actually. It's that it was an ornate kind of a coat. But maybe do we want to sing the Coat of Many Colors song? Leanne, you do it so well. This week, we were talking about the sermon, and she started singing, I look handsome, I look smart, I'm a walking work of art, and I don't know all the rest of the words there. Da, 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 da. But I do want to let you know that I'm going to see Hamilton on Wednesday. I don't know if that's important or not, but you don't get to do that very often, and so that's fun. I'm not going to see Joseph on Wednesday. Joseph knew that he was the favorite, and he took advantage of it. He paraded around in his new coat, whether it had many colors or long robe with sleeves or just this ornate thing. He told his father that his brothers weren't working hard enough. He told on his brothers. Joseph was arrogant. He was an arrogant something. Joseph didn't get it. Joseph's brothers hated him. There's a lot of conspiring going on in this story. And Judah had profit on the mind. See, nobody really looks good in this reading today. Favoritism led to jealousy, jealousy to hatred, hatred to murderous desire. One thing we can learn just by looking at this, because we don't have the whole story yet, but jealousy is destructive. Entitlement is destructive. Hatred is destructive. Killing is destructive. Racism is destructive. Bigotry is destructive. I know I'm going beyond the text, but you get it. All of these things are destructive. There is no place in relationships, in churches, in schools, community, anywhere for entitlement, jealousy, hatred, killing, racism, bigotry. Today's reading isn't just about all of that, though. There's a line in here that I just love. It's an example of how one voice, one reasonable voice, one voice of reason can change things for the better. Reuben, this guy, his cool head stopped his brothers from making a mistake that would cost them dearly. And you probably know the rest of the story if you know the Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and I'm not going to say all of it today. But Reuben's cool head changed the way things could have been. We need more Reubens in the world, and I don't just mean the sandwich, and they're really, really good. A Reuben sandwich is what I use to test out a restaurant. Anytime I go to a new place, I order a Reuben sandwich, and if they can do that well, I figure that the rest of it will be pretty good too. You may have another tester, but mine is the Reuben. We need more Reubens in the world, people that act like Reuben in the story. We need more people to say, let's not let our emotions take us to places that we can't return from. Let's not obliterate our enemy or our adversary thinking that we're in the right, only to find out that we made a big mistake. Let's not hurt someone to make us feel better. Let's remember to listen first. Listen well and know that everyone is someone's son or daughter. Everyone is precious. We all need to say that. We don't just need more Reubens in the world. Every one of us needs to say that. And we need to stand for love, for equality, for justice in the face of bigotry, racism, anti-LGBT hate, classism, American exceptionalism, religious hatred, sexism. It's not enough for us to sit on the sidelines and just hope. It really isn't. The church used to be able to do that, or maybe it's never been able to do that. We just thought we could. It's not enough to sit on the sidelines and hope that things will get better. As the church and as followers of Jesus, we have to be part of being love. of being equality, of being justice. We have coloring books that help us teach this. You know, the posters out there that say, be the church, and then some more smaller rainbow posters. There's a coloring book. Coloring is therapeutic. Coloring can help make things better just by setting your mind at ease. Be the church. Protect the environment. Care for the poor. Forgive often. Reject racism. Fight for the powerless. Share earthly and spiritual resources. Embrace diversity. Love God. Enjoy this life. Take one of these when you leave church today. There's four or five out there and some more in the office. We'll get more if we need them. Go home and color all of them. And let's decorate the whole church with our artistic endeavors about what we're doing to be the church. There's more in today's reading. There's suffering. Why did Joseph suffer? Was it because he was so arrogant? Would we deserve the same fate for being full of ourselves? Do we deserve the same fate because we're full of ourselves? Big question, why does anyone suffer? Why does God let something like that happen? Is there any real rhyme or reason to the question of why bad things happen and to whom they happen? No, not really. And suffering stinks. I know that many people grow as a result of their suffering, and also many people don't. Many people end up much weaker. Many people die. Suffering is not good. We're called to help people through suffering. We're called to be a people who help people out of suffering. We're not called to cause suffering. We're not called to let it continue. Today's reading, though, it ends with Joseph suffering. He's in a bad situation. But you know there's a next part to the story, and you may know how it goes, but you don't know exactly how it's going to go in next week's sermon, so you have to come back next week for that part. You don't have to wait a year for the sequel. You just have to wait till next week. When we're in bad situations, I hope we can have the patience and hope to know that there is a next part of our life's story. And hope that we have the presence of mind, or we have the hope to know that God is present throughout our journey. Maybe another issue in this story that we can think about this week is God's presence. Do you think God was ignoring Joseph in his suffering? Do you think God was saying, you're getting what you deserve? Was God blessing him as his father blessed him so much, and now God turned his back? Is God only with us when things are going well? And then when things are going horribly, God has turned his back? No. Let's be ready. Looking forward with patience and hope. Not just looking forward with patience and hope, but of course doing that. Because next week we're going to hear the second part of the story of Joseph, this dreamer. We didn't even get to talk about Joseph's dreams. They angered his brothers because they showed Joseph in power over his brothers. He tried to explain them, and maybe he was trying to be nice. Brothers just got more and more angry. Still, Joseph's in a bad place. He's got much to learn. His brothers are in a bad place. They've got much to learn. Please be here next week. Bring a friend. Because we're in the middle of the story and all is not lost. Amen.